Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMP podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and here's our intro music.
It's almost like we've done that before.
It every time makes me feel like I'm in some 1990s Fox Network, you know, crime procedural. We're going to be like swabbing corpses in the next 5 minutes and talking about motives. And anyway, we're here on BAMP podcast to talk to the guys behind Frontier Explorer, which is the premier fan site, fanzine for Star Frontiers, which is an awesome old school sci-fi RPG. And we just played it Monday on this very podcast. And the fellow directly beneath me in the Drellisite Liberation Front t-shirt actually showed up in the comments and helped us with some basic rules questions we had, because none of us have played in the last 30 years. So Tom S, thank you very much. And over here, this is...
Actually, it's Tom V. I'm below you.
You're Tom V. I'm sorry. You're Tom V. The nicely dressed fellow over here is Tom S, who is literally his name on the podcast is Tom S. So maybe I should look better. So that's my mistake.
So I blame all the energy drinks.
It's just coffee, man. It's just coffee.
Like it should be.
Yeah. So how do you guys divide up duties at Frontier Explorer? Are you co-chief editors, or one of you guys does more content, the other does more editing? How's that? How do you share it out?
So Tom Verrall writes a lot. He's a main author. He kind of handles the art side of it, and then I do the editing and the layout. Although he does a lot of he edits everything before I see it. And then I do a final editing pass on it and do the layout and do the publication part.
All right, cool. Whatever was needed to be done. So if we needed artwork, I would do illustrations. I would go and solicit and beg from artists, and and I know that Tom's got a new job, a tenured position at a university. So I've tried to pick up a lot of the editing, actually, to pick up the slack a little bit.
Well, good for you, Thomas. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, hey, let's say I'm an old school RPG guy, and I'm hankering for a fix of that some of that Star Frontier stuff. What can I get from FrontierExplorer.org to scratch that itch?
Well, we've published 34 issues of the magazine. That's almost been a decade now. We had a year off back in 2018 due to issues. That we can talk about if you want, involving the trademark of the game. And we cover all kinds of stuff. It's got, we put out the magazine every quarter. So it comes out in January, April, August, and October every year. So four times a year. And we've got races, we've got equipment, we've got adventures, we've got ideas, GM advice. There's all kinds of topics we've covered over the year. I think Tom Verrall probably knows the exact number because he's working on an index of all of the magazines, but I think we're up to something on the order of 850, 900 articles in the Frontier Explorer. And then there's also the Star Frontiersman magazine, which I guess own now. It was originally made by Bill Logan. And when he moved on to other things, he gave it to me. And there's 25 issues of that. And so there's lots and lots of content.
So do you guys sell issue by issue? Do you sell big compendiums? How does it work?
So it's issue by issue. They're all, if you go to the top of the webpage there and click on the books tab, it'll take you to a link where all of the individual ones are there and you can just download them. They're reverse chronological there and go on to a second page. Some of the early issues we actually have in full HTML wiki style here on the site. We planned to do that, and then it kind of fell by the wayside as time constraints happened. But they're all there. If you want them, so the PDFs are here on the website. Mm-hmm. They're actually available as print on demand if you like physical copies of your magazines through DriveThru, which is why there's a link to DriveThru there on the sidebar. And you can get all of the magazines print on demand, except for 34. That's still going through the queue. That one's not ready yet, but they're all available. And I'm looking at making compendium versions, but I haven't yet. Yeah, those are the wiki versions that aren't there. There's a placeholder for all of them, but we haven't got them. You found gotcha. There on the webpage.
You go back to
issues also, 1 through 6, they're there.
Okay. You also want to check the special issues.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. And I did them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are the special issues?
They're there on the side. If you go back to the webpage, there's a under content, under the Patreon banner, there's a special issues. And what they are there's two right now. And they're technical manuals. They're full detailed write-ups, deck plans of the Assault Scout and of a Sathar Destroyer. So they are full deck by deck, room by room, detailed plans of the ship and how the systems work and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm happy to see you guys paying attention to Sathar, because that was always one of my big frustrations back in the day, was I wanted more Sathar information.
And, really?
There just wasn't much there. So, well, this is really cool. You guys have been doing this forever. This is a way to keep the torch burning for the old game. That's fantastic.
Now, can you talk a little bit about your, you said, when Bill decided to go another way, that because I found Bill in DWD Studios through White Star and his content that he did through them. But then he did Frontier Space and all the coolness that went with that. Yeah. Can you tell people who Bill is and how you ended up with his content?
So Bill Logan is a big Star Frontiers fan. And he got active in the current community back in, it would be 2007. I had been kind of inactive and gotten back into it in the 2005, 2006 timeframe. And he went off and started the StarFrontiers.us site, which was a forum site. He is a forum site. It's still active that I maintain. And there was a forums at StarFrontiers.org. StarFrontiers.org itself is still active, but the forums are gone due to technology hackers and things like that killed those. And he wanted more changes or more functionality in the forum site than were there. And so he went off and made his own, and he started the Star Frontiersman magazine actually as a handout for his player group that he was playing with the first issue. And then he made a cut, and then he said, well, I might as well make these available. And he made those available, and he did the first 6 issues of the Star Frontiersman. And then he kind of opened it up to the community, and we all started submitting articles, and and then he edited issues 5, 6, or 7, and 8 as well. And if you can see those, they're at starfrontiersman.com is the website for those. And there, I should have a link from the Frontier Explorer website, but I don't seem to. So that's a mistake on my part. So what happened next? Oh, so then I actually edited issues 9, 10, and 11. And then that was right about the time they formed DWD Studios. This is a very static website. If you just click on magazines there at the top, you'll get to the issues. And there they all are. And then Larry Moore took over editing for a while. And then what happened was, if you look at the release dates on those magazines, there's a bunch right at the beginning. If you go back to the bottom, because again, they're reverse chronological, the 2007 ones. And then they got to be very sporadic. And you can see there in December 2009, they acquired the DWD Studios logo. That's when Bill formed his company. And they brought that in-house. But they started to get really, really spaced out. And we had lots of articles that were in the backlog, and nothing was really happening with them. They're around issue 17, 18. And that's when we started the Frontier Explorer. And then starting on issue 20 of the Star Frontiersman, Bill passed off editing to William Douglas and said, basically, let's just get all of our content out. And so William went through, and I think like every month, but every other month or so, he started cranking those out. It looks like I've got a typo on the webpage too. That March 20, 2007 on issue 21, it should be 2013 or 20. Yeah, something like that. It's a wrong date. But the And so that went through, and then they finished them. They emptied out their backlog queue of submissions. And then a few years later, Bill really was focusing on all the other things he was doing with DWD Studios, and asked me if I'd be interested in taking ownership of them and keeping them online. And so these are all actually hosted on a server at my house. I'm running the web server for that site, the Frontier Explorer, and a couple others. I just have a server at home and a really nice internet connection. And so that's what Bill's done. The Frontier Space, which he actually started on as a group project with, I don't know if Tom Verall, if you were part of that, I think you were. I know I was.
It was when it was kind of dropping off in the
camp. Yeah. And we started it as a group, and then it kind of tapered out, and then Bill picked it up again later and finished it. And I actually did the indexes for both the referee and player's handbook of Frontier Space and for his Art of Wuxia game that he's published. So I work with him still regularly. And but yeah, he's published a bunch of different games through DWD Studios. Doesn't really do Star Frontiers anymore.
Yeah, we did White Lies yep. as a playtest.
I proofread that one for him.
Nice. Hey, Mike, if you share my screen below, I got the Frontier Space cover.
Yeah, you should.
Yep.
Got that nice homage to the original art from the cover of the game back in the day.
Yeah, actually, and if you pull up the referee's handbook cover, you can see the guys are shooting at. It's actually all one image.
Yeah, yeah. He debuted that back in the day when when it was still Google Plus.
Yep.
And showed it as a
big Google Plus group.
I actually have open a new tab. I'll just share this tab real quick. He shared the Google Plus image, and it was like, oh my god, that's so dope. So right there, Mike, if you want to share it.
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, that was cool that he had done it as a combined image, which was really, really cool. So but I haven't gotten to play it yet. How similar is it to Star Frontiers?
It's actually not super similar. It's the same kind of feel, but it's a very different mechanic. I mean, it's D100 percentile, but it's kind of has a push your luck mechanic built into it. So you can take as many actions in a turn as you want, but everyone after the first gets a cumulative negative 20% chance to succeed kind of thing. So first action is full percent, then you got minus 20, then minus 40, then minus 60. And there's penalties for failures and things like that. So I actually haven't played it. I've read the books extensively because I did the index, and I've actually been working on a module with him for a while, but that kind of tapered off when COVID hit. And so.
Now, what is it about Star Frontiers that keeps drawing you guys back?
I've talked a lot. Tom V, you're up.
To me, back in the day when I was a kid, it was so much more accessible than Traveler. And at the time, I played a lot of Starfleet Battles. So while I liked Starfleet Battles because I was a Star Trek fan, I just kept coming back to it. It was just a light and easy, accessible. And, you know, I always had a dream as a kid that was kind of implanted by guidance counselor school to be an editor at the Dragon magazine. And, you know, never realized that dream. You know, you go off in life and do college and stuff. And, you know, I was injured and out of work, and you know, you're on the internet and you discover, whoa, Star Frontiers, fan community, woo. You know, and next thing you know, I'm writing stuff for the Star Frontiersmen and working behind the scenes with Larry Moore, who was editing it. And one day I woke up and realized, oh, man, I'm living the dream. I'm living the, you know, I'm not getting paid, but I'm living the dream. It's like, you know, because Dragon is no more as a print magazine. So it's probably just me and Tom that buy the print-on-demand copies of the Frontier
There's a couple other people that do.
Just, well, you know, a little bit of vanity on my part, but I just, you know, I love the setting. I know it's a canned setting. I just kind of love the setting, and it just, to me, it seems so accessible and easy to use.
What's your favorite race in the box?
Gazarian.
Everybody says the Gazarian. What is it about flying space monkeys?
I know people who say Dralocyte, and I know people who say Vresk, so...
The Dralocyte I always thought was interesting because you had that like Herculoids thing going on. And like, I mean, you look at this like just little like lump of clay walking around and like, you know, cousin it from Adam's Family. And then all of a sudden it grows to like 9 feet and starts acting like that monkey from the same cartoon. And you're just like, damn, that's crazy.
Well, my favorite character I played was a Dralocyte in a play by post that was on Yahoo
Groups. I remember that.
And, Yahoo Groups, wow.
Yeah, and so that's no more, but that was my favorite character, my first play by post. And but I've written so much Yazarian cultural fluff for the magazine. I'm definitely a big Yazarian promoter.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, a bias toward the Yazarians in the magazine. I love to write about them.
So what kind of relationship do you guys have with wizards? Is it kind of, they turn a blind eye, or they're okay with the...
No, actually, so I have official permission from wizards to... So the Frontier Explorer was established under their fan site policy. They said just operate under that. And so that puts certain restrictions on what we can and can't do, but they're not very strong. Until 2018, we had permission first. Bill, because one of the things Bill did is he took the rules and he kind of reorganized them into a more modern organizational structure. So they were, I guess, easier to... I actually have never used his remastered rules because I was intimately familiar with the originals. I've been playing since I was 12. But we had explicit permission from Wizards of the Coast to have those rules up online free for download. Just like Timothy Norris, who owns the StarFrontiers.com website, had permission from originally TSR and then Wizards to have PDF scans of the original rules available online. It was completely legal. You know, people would say, yeah, it's illegal. But no, we had actually letters from Wizards saying, giving us permission to do that. And that his permissions were until such time as Wizards started selling Star Frontiers again, which happened in 2018 when they put everything up on DriveThru. And so now his links go to DriveThru. They don't go to the PDFs anymore. And then we were asked to take down the remastered versions. We had the rules, Zeb's guide, and we had the first 5 modules, I think, all remastered. And so we took those down per their permission. And then we had reprinted some of the Dragon Magazine articles in the Star Frontiersman over the years. And so I went through, because I was completely in control of the magazine at that point. I went through and removed those articles from the PDF. So if you download the PDFs now, the Dragon Magazine articles aren't in there. But otherwise, the other thing I actually got when Bill gave me the Star Frontiersman, I actually had a letter from WotC saying I could do anything I wanted with the game as long as it was non-commercial. It was literally carte blanche with the game. Didn't do a lot, but we kept it alive and we kept things up online. And that all ended in 2018. I still talk with them regularly. I send them issues. I have a contact there at WotC who's the brand manager who handles Star Frontiers. And... I send them copies of the magazine when they come out and talk to them every now and then, ask them questions. A lot of times it's no comment when I get response back, but I have a working relationship with them. They gave me permission in 2012 and 2017 to do the 30th and 35th anniversary patches for the game. And those were a limited edition patch that I produced. And a lot's happened in the last few years, and I haven't managed to get them to say, yes, you can do a 40th anniversary, but we're going to hit them up here again in January. So we'll see if that comes to fruition after the current things going on with Star Frontiers have maybe settled down a little more.
And we don't have to talk about that. I'm completely fine if we don't talk about that. If you guys want to, we can, but there's been plenty of ink and pixels.
We don't expended. Have to.
Yeah, that's fine. So it's here we are not talking about it, folks.
Yeah, I'm more excited about the game as a whole, like seeing a little more popularity now. You're starting to see like other people, you know, kind of search around for it. My wife says she was going to buy me the reprints from Drive-Thru for Christmas, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Let me pick up the PDF so I have them for when it comes in. So, get the hardback? Yeah, we did. I heard it's really good. Can we see that on screen again?
Yeah, I love them. I mean, this came out of the Evil Hat Affair when these got put up on there. I was like, I'm totally getting hardbound. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love them because my originals are falling apart.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a few years. Yeah.
But like, we're definitely seeing a resurgence for it. I would love to see more play with it just because once you get your headspace out of some of the more fiddly game mechanics that are out there these days, it's fairly simple to run. It's not hard. The only trick that I was finding was, making sure the like different range negatives to for when you're moving and shooting, you know, stuff like that almost Battletech-esque table for the range combat, you know, that was the only difficulty I was having. How often do you guys get to play?
I've been running a Port Lauren Chronicles a game, and it was meeting every other Sunday. Four players and myself. We've been on hiatus because my wife plays in that game and her job was getting really stressful, but she's taken a new job with the state and it's going to be a lot less stressful. So we're going to pick it back up in January. And I was just I had been a guest fill-in in a game by Oscar Rios called Citizens of the Frontier that was done by a StreamYard. And so I just sat in as a guest, and then all of a sudden I took over an NPC in the middle of the game, and and he ran it very theater of the mind, not really paying much attention to any of the modifiers for combat or range, and I thought that was wicked easy. I should do this, and so that's what caused me to start the Port Lauren Chronicles, which was like a police procedural set right in Port Lauren. But we're gonna transition to white light system and some action there. So I'll just keep the name for continuity, but even though Port Lauren Chronicles doesn't really match anymore, we've been on hiatus here for a couple of months, but it's every other week on Sunday night. And now we'll have five players and myself starting in January. So
I've been a little more off and on. I've actually ran an actual play. It's up on YouTube. It's called A New Can of Worms. That kind of died out. It just kind of tapers off. It doesn't like come to a conclusion or anything. Scheduling conflicts happen. But I think there's like 14 episodes. And the production quality is totally horrible. We just recorded our drive. We were playing on Roll20. We just recorded our sessions. And I posted them. And there's, hardware problems and audio problems, but it was an actual play of the game. I ran another one for a few sessions more recently they were mercenaries for Galactic Task Force Incorporated and doing jobs. I tried to be episodic, so each session would be a contained adventure. And we had a cast of kind of West Marches style, but only one GM. We had multiple players, and whoever could make it would be in on the adventure that day. Yep, there they are. I also have some videos up there on mapping and drawing deck plans and star charts and things like that. So,
if anyone wants to find that, if you just search for A New Can of Worms, Star Frontiers on YouTube, you're one of the
first. Yeah, you'll find it.
Yeah.
And so I don't play a whole lot. I've run games with my kids. But that's a while ago. Now they're all off doing their own thing. Much to my wife's dismay. They're all gamers. at least the older ones. And my 17-year-old actually is running a campaign. It's a Dungeons and Dragons for his three older siblings, and another campaign for one of his friends, and for some of his friends. And so I haven't played a lot recently. Like Tom Brault said, I started a new job a year ago, full-time faculty. And I'm in my office at the university right now. That's where I'm at. And if I was at home, you would see all my Star Frontiers books behind me.
Nice.
Actually, you'd see a green screen of the Assault Scout. See, you'd see that's normally my background. But I tried it on here, and it made all my hair cut out. Because I'm the same color as my background. I'm old and gray now.
That's why I wear the hat.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So what do you guys see as the future of Star Frontiers?
Yeah, do you think they'll ever redo the PDF from that they sell from that terrible scan, that low-res scan?
I don't know what Wizards of the Coast is going to do. I mean, they're in a legal battle with somebody who has made a trademark grab, but does not have the IP. So we don't know how that's going to shake out. And, I can tell you what I'm doing. I started a publishing company called Frontier Games and Publishing, completely forgetting that Tom has a publishing company called New Frontier Games. So it's a little confusing there. That was my bad. But, I've actually released a module under the Star Frontiersman license called Taking Out the Trash, a Warriors of White Light 2.0 encounter. Christmas here just said Merry Christmas to the community. It's free here. Download it for free.
Oh, nice.
And we have...
Can you give us a link for that in the chat on the side, and we'll put that up for you?
Yeah.
Or at least I got it in the show notes and so spread the word.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, yeah, cool. So that's on drive-through, and I don't know if I'm able to share a screen here with you.
You are.
Here we go. Share.
Oh my God, that hound! You think he was a Yazarian?
And oops, let me bring up the.
Hey, we're looking into Infinity.
Sorry about that. Here we go. So this is what's coming out. This is what should be coming out next. The Grand Index of the Frontier. It's 25 indexed issues of the Star Frontiersman and 30 of the Frontier Explorer. So you can actually begin to find things that you're looking for. So this is a
great project. Is that a whole big compendium, or is that just the index to all the existing issues?
Yes, just an index. Plus, okay. I threw in appendixes for all the house magazines for the original TSR, you know, the Dragon, Imagine, Ares, and Polyhedron.
Okay.
And then this is a little bit of a teaser I'm putting together, Frontier Popular Robotics. It's a complete compendium of every robot created for the Frontier, from anything created in a TSR product to anything in the magazines.
Nice. Cool. And that'll be coming out when?
And so, well, that's in the process, and there's also a module by a guy named Richard out in Las Vegas, and we're working together on that to get that out. So that'll be another Warriors of White Light encounter, but that one should be big enough that it could be done print on demand. So we're kind of excited about that as well. So I've got a bunch of different publishing projects going on, and hoping to be releasing them one a month, all through the 40th anniversary. So you have that to look forward to, you know, as long as I don't screw up. I mean, it'll be a little bit of a grind, but we're going to, and still do the magazine as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if people want to find out more about the magazine, obviously frontierexplorers.org, they have links to everything, and going to your Patreon, which I don't know if we mentioned yet, but you got one, people should support you. If we want to find out your project, Tom V, how do they do that? Same link or somewhere else?
Well, I imagine I can get Tom to throw up a post on the Frontier Explorer website, but let me just pull up a...
You should be able to put one on the Frontier Explorer website.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do have a lot.
You're an editor. You can write articles there. You don't need to do that. Actually, the one other thing is one of the things I've done over the years. So I have a Star Frontiers related blog. It's expandingfrontier.com. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been on hiatus for the last year since I've been getting settled into my new job. But one of the things I've been doing is recreating all of the original metal miniatures, all the spaceships. And they're all up on DriveThruRPG, actually, as STL files you can download. Nice. And if you have to, yeah, so that's my most recent one was I did the Gullwind, the one that's in pieces there at the bottom, because one of the engines is, it's a three engine system. But yeah, that's the website. I did a expanded map of the frontier that expands it out quite a ways. There's a lot of stuff, resources on there that I've done. That's where some of those videos that were linked on YouTube were for articles I wrote for there. But you can get most of the, I also filled in some of the ships that weren't created. Like I made a UPF destroyer. I made the Sathar destroyer. I made assault carriers for both of the races. There's quite a few. There's like 25 now different ship models up there. And the only ones I haven't done are those privateers there. I've done all the other ones.
What about the Sathar cutter?
I did that one too.
Oh, I didn't see the miniature for it yet.
Oh, it's up there.
I'll go looking. We discovered that there was this blister pack miniature, and it was labeled Sathar cutter. And when we discovered it, we were like, you know, what's up with this? We've never heard of this before. It was like one of those that went over your head and you missed it. And so we actually worked up the deck plans for it and put it in the Frontier Explorer.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. There's the cutter. But it's labeled Mine Layer on the chip.
Yeah, and it's a UPF ship. It's the same silhouette. Yeah. I made a UPF Mine Layer too that looks somewhat like that.
Yeah, I always wondered how the metaplot progressed in that story. Although I guess being old school, it's kind of, the metaplot happened however you want it to happen in your home.
Yeah, world. That was. I think that's one of the appeals. I just posted a link to the ships on DriveThru.
That's awesome.
Let me. I'll make sure I get those both in the show notes. Let me share the screen. I just got Tommy V's link to DriveThru. There we go.
Damn, look at all those STLs. Glorious.
Yep. That's a lot of STLs.
Okay. Yeah, so the ones that are pay what you want are recreations of the original miniatures. Mm-hmm. So I got out my calipers and I pulled out my CAD program and I made the ships. The ones that have costs are original designs by me. Same theme, but they're originals by myself. So, and that kind of goes back to your question earlier about our relationship with WotC, and they're pretty happy to let you do anything you want with the game as long as it's free. But when you start charging money for things, they might get interested. And so we avoid that.
Right.
So all of our stuff is pay what you want. The same with the magazine, it's completely free. If you want it or on DriveThru, you can, you know, throw some change our direction. And that helps, you know, defray hosting costs and publication costs and things like that. So,
yeah, because art ain't cheap.
Nope. We've been really lucky. We have some amazing artists that love to draw pictures for us. They're all fans of the game. And so we're like, hey, we need a picture of this. And they'll draw us a picture. So
that is a blessing.
Yep.
I remember when I used to get to draw.
Yeah, me too. I just do maps.
Well, hey guys, as much as I hate to say this, I need to get back to my soul-crushing day job on this laptop right over here. Any closing thoughts before we call it a podcast?
I just want to say, you know, for me, the Frontier is still alive and well. It's been in the hands of fans for decades now, and the fans have been taking good care of it. Fans like Tom, who's supported with the home server and stuff, and just new content has been coming out for decades, and so to me, it's still a viable game. That there's plenty of content out there, new content all the time, and it is my favorite RPG.
Hell yeah. Hey, thanks for coming out and talking about this, guys. Really appreciate it.
Point people at two places if they want to join in on the community. There's the Facebook group, which just search for Star Frontiers RPG on Facebook. That's the name of the group. That's the link. And then there's a Discord server as well that you can get to from the Frontier Explorer website. That's probably the easiest way to get to it.
Okay, I will try to put those links in the show notes too.
I will send them to you. I've got them all in a document here for you.
Oh, perfect. That's great. All right, hey, Tom and Tom, pleasure to talk to you guys. Walt, it is always a pleasure. I'm going to play our annoying musical outro music, which is very similar to our annoying musical intro music. Enough of that. So thanks, folks, for watching. We will catch you next time on the BAMF Podcast.
All right. Thanks for hosting us.